Amen. I am so excited about the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We've already had one wonderful, powerful service this morning, and it's good to see everyone here. You were not deterred by the rain, and I don't see the rain. Hallelujah. You know, God is good. We're not sugar Christians here. We don't melt away when it starts to rain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good today. Let's look in John chapter 9 for His Word this morning. Amen. Thank you, Father. And I just want to say that when we're in an atmosphere like we were in praise and worship this morning, and Drew began to proclaim that breakthrough was being released, you know, it's important that we learn how to press into the presence of the Lord and learn how to touch the very hem of His garment and be healed and be changed. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. How about that, Becky? You feeling better? Pain stopped immediately in Jesus' name. You can raise your hand higher than you have. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You know, you may not know how big a thing that is, but Becky, you broke your shoulder, wasn't it? Broke her shoulder and has been fighting for about 5 to 6 weeks now, isn't it? 7 weeks. You know, and today in the presence of Jesus Christ, now she can raise that shoulder where she couldn't do it before. Hallelujah. God is moving and He's touching, you know, and He is here in a very real way. And we need to learn to reach out and touch Him in Jesus' name. I'm sure, I feel confident that others were touched as well. But Becky, thank you for letting us know about that. You know, last week we had a person, after praise and worship, actually give their life to Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, I didn't see them, so I couldn't recognize them. But afterwards, they prayed in their class, and I just praise God for that. You know, in the presence of the Lord, His presence changes everything, and He is moving powerfully in our lives. Amen. I'm believing, you know, it's in an atmosphere like that. I'm believing God to touch Ashlyn in Jesus' name, to touch Pastor Wade. I couldn't resist. I had to put my hand on Pastor Wade's shoulder and say, Pastor Wade, I know the Lord is here, and let's just ask Him to touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it won't surprise me one bit if I hear something in a while over that. God bless you guys. Man, you guys are wonderful in the presence of the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for the praise team that He's raised up in this place. Amen. Brings in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Okay, John chapter 9. We're going to be talking about obtained favor. This is the year, as you can see on the board there, of obtained favor. What is obtained favor? It's when we actually hold that blessing in our hand, or we see it with our eyes. It has become living reality. It's no longer hope. It is obtained favor. It's something that I am experiencing. Maybe it's in my bank account. Boy, that was a good place to say amen. Maybe, you know, but maybe it's my shoulder. Amen. Guys, you know, Becky's not been able to lay down to sleep for 7 weeks. She's had to sleep upright. Tonight you're going to sleep normally in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is so good. But that's obtained favor. When you're walking in it, when you've experienced it, and you're holding on to it. Okay, and in that, today we're going to be looking at John chapter 9 and looking at the topic of, are we the blind man or are we the Pharisee? Hallelujah. Pastor Wade, that isn't one of those trick questions. I think everyone knows that the Pharisees are always wrong. Hallelujah. Let's read John 9 verses 1 through 7. As He passed by, He saw a man blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When He had said this, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Now, I do have another question for you this morning. Okay, let's say that you see someone being prayed for, and the person praying for them spits on the ground and makes mud and puts it in their eyes. Now, my question is, do you want to be the next person to be prayed for? Hallelujah. Do you want to be next in line, you know, to be prayed for after Jesus does something like this? You know, and the answer to that question is, we should want to be one of those. Hallelujah. You know, but we have to get used to the idea that God doesn't always do things the way we think he's going to do them. And just because it's different from the way that I thought doesn't mean that it's not God. Hallelujah. Just because it's not the way that I thought it would happen doesn't mean it wasn't God. All that means is that I'm not God. When he does it the way that I'm not expecting it, it just proves one more time, for any that have any doubt, I'm not God. He is. He's going to do it his way. Hallelujah. So as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. The disciples were asking him, whose fault is this, basically? Whose fault is it? But, you know, when you really think about it, I mean, why, how could there be any fault at all? This man was born blind. You know, and so whatever fault that there might be, you know, is certainly not attributable to him because he was born that way. He'd never done anything on the face of the earth yet. You know, and yet they're asking, is it because this man sinned or his parents? You know, and the answer to that, Jesus basically said, is that it's neither. Okay? Now, here's something that we must get rid of, guys. We must get rid of attributing blame in situations where there really is no responsibility. Okay? People are walking in something that they have no control over. Okay? This man had no control over whether he was born blind or not. He had absolutely no control over that. And so he was born blind, and they're trying to fix the situation by attributing blame. You know, how many times we think that if we can find the right person to blame, that'll fix the situation. No, that won't fix the situation if that's all that we do. Okay? But worse is when there is no one to blame and we look for someone to blame. Okay? Now, here's yet another thing that I believe that the Lord wants to teach us today about this passage, and it is that, you know, there are some things that we experience, and I believe that that's true of every person in this room. There are things and resistances and problems that you go through that you do not have any responsibility for. You do not have any control over those things. Okay? You know, it's not something that you got into because you were being disobedient to God, but it's something that you could not control. You know, and maybe it could even be our past. You know, because whatever mistakes that we've made in our past, once we've made restitution to that person or people or whatever, where that may apply, and once we have repented of that sin, we no longer have any control over our past. Okay? I cannot control, I cannot change, I cannot undo what I've done in my past. I can correct it as much as is possible in this life, but after I have done that, I need to let go of it. It's something that I cannot control anymore, but it can control me. Okay? It can control me. And the good news in this passage is Jesus Christ is coming on the scene to change the things that no one is responsible for. He is coming onto the scene, and he's not trying to blame anybody for anything that's happening, but he's coming on the scene, and he's recognizing this situation for what it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ wants to move in our lives, if we will let him, in the things that we are not responsible for. In the things that we do not have any blame for. He wants to reveal himself through that. Okay, but now here is something that is very important for us to understand in order to release him to do this. Okay, We need to understand that every circumstance that we face in our lives, and especially those that we have no control over, every circumstance that we face in our lives, especially the ones that tend to identify us, that we have absolutely no control over, okay? We need to understand that those things have been permitted by God in order to bring glory to Him. The things that I am experiencing in my life, resistances, you know, that have no basis in what I'm doing or not doing, okay? But it's just something that is coming against me. I cannot control it. I'm not at fault for it. Okay? What the world, you know, oftentimes teaches us to do with such things is to get embittered against that and to become negative in our hearts, even against God. Okay? Everyone in this room, there are things that are true about your circumstances that you can't control that you wish were not true. Everyone in this room, we all have those kinds of things going on. Okay? And the thing about it is that when I stop looking at those things as being something that is going to limit my life, when I stop looking at those things as something that is going to bring a lessening of my life, when I stop looking at those things as something that is going to make me less fruitful than I would like to be, and I start looking at those things in a different light, and I begin to say, you know what, this limitation, I am not to blame for it. There is nothing that I can do about it. There's no way that I can change it. There's nothing that I can do about this on my own. But this thing has been put in my life for a purpose. And it's so that I can bring glory to God. Amen. Through overcoming this circumstance. Yes. Amen. The purpose of these things, guys, is not so that we will knuckle under and bow down to them. It's for us to understand that our God is greater than those things. And He wants to bring a greater blessing into our lives. It's for us to understand that He has permitted that in order to bring greater glory to His name. He's permitted that resistance in order that I would not be able, you know, and it's usually something that I have no control over, nothing that I can do about it. You know, I can't fight it. I can't overcome it on my own. But He has permitted it in my life in order that I can demonstrate His glory. It's so that the glory of God may be revealed. You know, and I want to tell you today something that is really, really strong. I am making myself a candidate for Him to touch my life and to change me when I stop looking at those things that I cannot control with resentment and with disappointment and with sorrow and with bitterness and with anger even. When I stop looking at those things in that way and I start looking at it with faith. As I start looking at it with the eyes that see the unseen, and I say, you know what? God has permitted this in my life in order to bring forth His blessing. He has permitted this in my life in order to bring glory to Him. And the greater the circumstances that I face that I'm resisted in, the more glory that I can bring to Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I think it would be really good. We did this in the first service. I think it'd be really good. You know, there are some people in here that need to stand up and say, I am not going to bow down to these circumstances anymore. I'm not going to let them control me anymore. But they have been placed in my life in order to bring glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. They have been placed. They have been allowed. They have been permitted in order to bring glory to God. And this day, I'm choosing to look at life differently. If you want to do that, just raise your hand right where you are or stand to your feet right where you are and begin to declare that. I'm not going to bow down to that stuff anymore. These things that I cannot control, these things that I cannot change on my own, it is given, it has been permitted into my life in order that I would bring glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And begin to declare right where you are. I am going to see this circumstance bring glory to God. I'm going to see it happen and bring glory to His name. I'm going to see it change. I can't change it, but He can. And He has come into this world to change this situation in order to bring glory to Him. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe we can begin to just applaud the Lord. Maybe we can begin to thank Him that He's going to change. We're changing. We're turning around today. We're not going to allow these things to control us anymore. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. He is good. He is good. He is good. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question. If this has been permitted in my life to bring glory to God, what is the way that brings greatest glory to Him? You know, and I'll say that a lot of times in Christianity in the past, we have thought that God would be greater glorified. You know, as I'm going through a trying circumstance, or as I'm going through the pain of a sickness or whatever it may be, you know, something that is disappointing, something that's out of my control. Sometimes we have thought that the greatest glory that we could bring to God in that was just to be faithful to Him throughout that. But I want to tell you today that I want you to reconsider that, okay? I want you to think about that. Now, it's not that we shouldn't be faithful when we're being tested, okay? We should be faithful. But think back over the times and the people that you have known. You know, that in the past you saw their great example when they were being resisted and they were suffering in some way. You know, people that stood firm and they stood strong, okay? You know, maybe someone was going through a very difficult financial time and yet they were always praising God. They didn't go on strike against God. They were always praising Him, giving Him their very best. You know, even though they weren't experiencing everything that they were supposed to experience, or maybe they're going through a sickness or a disease, you know, and in every situation, you always see them, you know, praising God and giving thanksgiving to God. Now, we've all known people like that, right? And when we talk about those people, what is it that we tend to talk about? Is it the greatness of God or the faithfulness of that believer? We usually talk about the faithfulness of that believer, okay? You know, oh, it's Sister so-and-so. You know, for years she went through this thing, and she never once complained about it. And she never once, you know, was ill with me during all those times when she was in. We tend to emphasize the faithfulness of the believer rather than the glory of God, okay? But when something happens like what has happened this morning, and someone that's been suffering for 7 weeks, okay, with pain, I know because we've been praying about this, Kent and Becky and Marisa and I have been praying, you know, where for weeks she wasn't getting more than an hour of sleep a night because it was just hurting too bad. No way to deal with it, okay? You know, and all of a sudden someone can raise their hand in a way they couldn't before for 7 weeks. Who gets the glory for that? Okay? It's Becky, right? No. She's raising her hand now. She wants to give more praise to God. Okay? When those things are removed or dealt with or overcome in some way, the praise goes to God. Okay? Now, if we really grasp a hold of that, it will change our lives. It will really change our lives. It will change the way that we look at these things that can be so powerfully controlling of what we do in our lives. You know, it doesn't matter in what circumstance that we were born. It doesn't matter, you know, what the situation is with my parents or whatever. What matters is God has permitted certain things in my life in order to demonstrate the greatness of His glory, power, and love for mankind here on the earth. But if I look at it that He's permitted it into my life in order for me to be patient, well, I'm going to get a lot of patience. I'm going to get a lot of patience. You know, think about this blind man. He's been blind since birth. He's been blind for many years, you know. And let's say that he gets the idea that all that God wants to do in his life, you know, is just make him able to endure this blindness. You know, at the end of his life, people would talk about him and how faithful he was and how awesome a believer that he was. But the way that it actually did happen, it brought glory to Jesus Christ. Okay? And so I want us to understand something awesome through this, guys, because we have been placed on this earth to bring glory to God. And that means that those things that you cannot control and that I cannot control, we are destined to overcome them in order to bring glory to God, in order to bring greater glory to Him. We are destined, we are called to overcome and prevail in those things. You know, and if something in our lives hangs on and we never overcome it, yes, do be faithful in that. Don't complain, don't murmur, don't gripe. Don't do any of those things. And we'll figure it out in heaven. The Lord will tell us what's going on with that. Okay? But I am here on the face of this earth not to endure. I'm here on the face of this earth to overcome. I'm not here just so that I can go through problems and not give up on God. I'm here, yes, to endure, but I'm also here to overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just want us to understand as we look at these things with that mindset, you know, God can begin to give us a new vision. Because it says in that verse 1, it's very, very important. Verse 1, please. It says, as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Okay? He saw a man who was blind from birth. Everything that happened in this passage happened because Jesus could see. Yes. He had the ability that this blind man didn't have. Okay? And even though we may not be physically blind, okay, here is the thing that we need to do. Jesus looks at your circumstances and your limitations and your problems and the things that you seem to have no control over with different eyes than you do and than I do. I might be blinded to what he wants to do. I might not be seeing what he wants me to see. And today, we need to ask the Lord to change our vision from our limited vision about what God can do and about a passive acceptance of things that are supposed to be overcome so we can bring glory to God. Hallelujah. I just hate passivity. I love patience, but I hate passivity. There's just nothing I can do about it. You know, well, I'm just going to sit here and just moan about the fact that I can't do anything. What kind of a God do you serve? Okay, I can't do anything, but he can do all things. He can do all things. All things are possible for him who believes the word of God says. We have to begin to understand and ask God to let us see the limitations that are in our lives with his eyes. Not with our own. We need to begin to just cry out to God, Lord, I'm not physically blind like that blind man was in John chapter 9, but there is blindness in my life that is causing me to accept things that I'm not supposed to accept. There is blindness in my life that is making me too passive. There is blindness in my life that's making me conform to things that are supposed to be overcome so you can be glorified. Hallelujah. I want to speak this right now. There is someone in this room. You need to understand depression can be overcome. It can be overcome. It can be overcome. Now, I'm not saying that God can't use doctors and so forth in that path, but I'm also saying that he can also do it. Just do it. He can just do it. He can use men. He can just do it. You know, but he can do it. Hallelujah. You know, I'm thankful for people who are faithful when they're suffering through something like that. Okay? I'm thankful. I don't make fun of them. But I just want to ask God, help open our eyes to see, God, what you want to do in our lives that will bring glory to you. It's going to be something that I can't do on my own. It's going to be something that's too big for me to accomplish by myself. It's something that only he can do, like the words of this song. Do what only you can do. It's when we start, when we stop looking that way to the Lord, we're in trouble. We're becoming more and more blind. When we stop looking at the miracle working God that we have and just become complacent. You know, when we can stand in an atmosphere where he's moving like he was in praise and worship this morning and not have enough activity going on inside of my spirit to say, you know what, Jesus is here and this thing that has been tormenting me has got to go in Jesus' name. This accusation about my past has got to go. I'm going to walk free from it. Amen. It's when I start being passive in a situation where God is present and moving. Oh, that is so revealing of where I really am. I'm blind to what God wants to do in my life. Help us to see, Lord. Open our eyes to see God. Yes, Lord. He wants to do miracles in our lives. He wants to do the same thing that he did. In this case, it was a blind man that needed healing. But in our life, it might be something different. Hallelujah. But he wants us, and we have to see it. We have to see it with his eyes. I don't know. This may not sound very spiritual to you. But there's got to be a lot more get up and go in believers. Hallelujah. There's got to be a lot more fight in us.
Well, that doesn't sound very humble, Pastor Jim.
Well, you know, it's more humility to bring glory to God than to put up with stuff myself. If I really want to be humble, I want to see him get all the glory. And if I'm trying to suffer through life, and I get, you know, there are Christians that get satisfaction out of their suffering. Now, none of them are here at Grace Covenant Church. They're far, far, far away because they believe that it makes them more spiritual. Oh, and whenever you go around them, they're going to be real faithful to tell you how difficult their burden is and how heavy their situation is. You know, and this is what I'm going through. And you tell them, well, brother so-and-so overcame that. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand. This one that I'm fighting is worse than that. It's a devil that cannot just be easily overcome. It's got to be done through prayer and fasting. And you say to them, well, pray and fast then. Pray and fast then. Oh, no, that's not for the New Testament. That's for the Old Testament. So therefore, there just is no way for God to change this. Hallelujah. Blind. Blindness inside of us. It's blindness. Okay? God wants to glorify himself through you and through me. What is it that's going on in your life that would bring glory to God if it wasn't there? Oh, praise God. He's good, guys. I mean, this is the good news. This is the good news that he came to deal with the stuff that we could not control and cannot deal with on our own. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, but it's really important that we understand, you know, in this story, I can either be the blind man or I can be the Pharisee. And for once, Pastor Wade, it's not a trick question. The Pharisees, once again, hold their part up. They don't get it right. Okay? So let's read that. Let's move on to a few verses down. Verses 30 through 32. It says, the man answered and said to them, these are the Pharisees talking to the man who had been blind, well, here is an amazing thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. Wow, what an amazing statement here. You know, and I just want to tell you, Jesus said that we would do the works that he did and we would do even greater works. And if your situation is really so bad that no one in all of the history of since the foundation of the world has ever gone through what you're going through, your God can still deal with that. He can do things that no one has ever known to be done before. And that for him is not a problem. Not a problem. But I want to bring attention to one thing about this. Because even though the blind man was physically blind, spiritually he wasn't blind. Okay? Because somehow, some way, verse 31 there, somehow, some way, he understood the seriousness of sin. Somehow he understood that God takes sin seriously. Somehow he understood that if someone is God-fearing and does his will, God hears that person. Somehow he knew, we don't know how he discovered this, but somehow he knew that sin could separate him from his blessing. You know, and in the church today, guys, all over across America, I believe that that is beginning to change now. But in the church today, you know, what you so often hear in the pulpits is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether you do right or wrong. God just looks past that. That's what the meaning of unconditional love is. That is not the meaning of unconditional love. That is not the meaning of unconditional love. Okay? And John Bevere puts it like this, you know, that God will always love us no matter what we do, but his pleasure is based on what we do. He will always love us no matter what we do, but he is pleased when we do what he tells us to. And somehow, this blind man, he was blind physically, but he was not blind spiritually. I'm telling you that the spirit of the age today wants to blind Christians to the seriousness of disobeying God. Okay? And I'm asking God in this meeting and today that the fear of the Lord would come upon us in a new way. Okay? Now, that is not an accusation. The spirit of accusation comes from the evil one, and it's not something that we should accept. Is something that we should fight very, very powerfully. Because accusation comes to bring condemnation and intimidation. Conviction comes to bring new life. Amen. We have to break off accusation. We should not participate in accusing others because it makes us open to accusation ourselves. If I heap condemnation on another, the spirit of accusation will be free to come against me. Hallelujah. Until I deal with that. Okay? Accusation cannot be listened to. Okay? But here's one of the worst things about the spirit of accusation. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, that accuser comes and he begins to whisper in your ear. And you can always identify, or one way you can identify his voice is because you hear that and at the end you got no hope. There seems to be no way out. There seems to be no way to get past whatever I'm being accused of. That is the voice of the accuser. And one of the worst things about it is that people, believers, who listen to the voice of the accuser, okay, become vaccinated against the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They're no longer able to receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit because as the Holy Spirit comes in his gentle, convicting way, I reject that, thinking that it's something that is going to be not good for me. It's going to be hopelessness again. I get vaccinated against his conviction. You know, and there is something that we need to understand. As we deal with accusation, we're going to be able to receive more conviction. And as we receive more conviction, we're going to be able to receive more grace. And as we receive more grace, we're going to see more blessing. And as we receive more blessing, more glory is going to come to God. And that is the goal. Glory coming to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As I reject accusation, conviction will be more free to move in me. You know, and you can always identify, you know, when it's the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you something you've done wrong, because it will come with hope. It will come with an action plan. It will come with, you messed up here, but this is what you've got to do about it. You made a mistake here. You committed sin here. You disobeyed God here. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, and this is what you've got to do about it. There is a plan of action. There is a place of hope. There is a path that leads to a better future when it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And how many together with me want to just reject that filthy spirit of accusation and break fellowship with that thing? Amen. You know, there are people in this room that the spirit of accusation has had far too much control over your life. You know, and what we need to do right now is just say, you know what, I'm not going to receive it anymore. And I break fellowship with it. I'm not going to sit down and listen to that filthy mess that does not take me closer to God. It takes me farther from God. Hallelujah. How many want to say that with me? Just raise your hand. Say, yes, I reject that in Jesus' name. I break fellowship with accusation, but I open up my life to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because that's going to result in blessing in my life, such as I have never experienced before. When I look at my problems with the eyes of Jesus, I'm also going to see more of the hand of Jesus operating in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I don't know, church, but there is life-changing anointing in this room right now. There is life-changing anointing in this room right now. Somehow, this blind man, he was not blind in his spirit. And we're going to close with one more passage here. Thank you, Lord. John 9, now verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world. Oh, pastor, but I just thought that Jesus came to love us. Well, he did come to love us. But one of the results of his coming into this world is judgment. For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Wow. Jesus is the light of the world. By his spirit, he is the light of the world. Jesus is the word of God. Okay? And here's something that we need to understand, guys, about the word of God. The word of God brings, it is a sword that brings separation. And among the ways that it brings separation is it divides people who after hearing the word, see it or who become blind. Every time I hear the word of God, I'm either seeing more or I'm becoming more blind. Okay? Every time that I hear the word of God, you know, and not just some encouraging talk, not some motivational, you know, speech, but every time that I hear the word of God, it is powerful. It is active. It is living. And it is producing something in me that's either going to release light into my being or it's going to release blindness. You know, and here is something that is incredibly powerful, guys. Okay? All it takes for the word of God, you know, to result, you know, the hearing of the word of God to result in greater spiritual blindness is just for me to have the attitude of a Pharisee and just be able to deal with it lightly. Just be able to say, oh, that's of no consequence. Oh, that word that Pastor Jim is speaking, that's for Craig Tichy over here. That's not for me. I already see all my problems. Oh, I don't need that. All it takes for me to be blind is to say that I already see. And when I say to the Lord's word, I already see everything I need to see. Oh my goodness, if we could just get a hold of this, what layers of blindness, you know, are in our lives because of our casual dealing with the Word of God. You know, what layers of blindness have been built up over the years so much that, you know, now I say that I don't have anything I need to deal with, and it blinds me to next week. And next week I hear something again that I could respond to and release light into my life. And I say, no, I don't need that. Because I see. And really what's happening is I'm becoming more blind. That's what Jesus said. I came for judgment, that those who do not see would see, and that those who do see would become blind. You know, and I want you to consider as I talk about this with you, I mean, is there anyone here that would say, I'm walking in the fullness of all the blessings that God has for my life? I like Miss B's response. Is there anyone here that would say, oh yeah, I've got it all. I've got it all. You know, something tells me that there isn't anyone in Beulahville yet that's got it all. Because if there was, this area would be being shaken by the power of God. Something tells me that all of us in the room, and firstly me, there's still some stuff that I need to see about myself. And the good thing is, Jesus came so that I would see it. And he told those Pharisees, you know, that because you say that you have no sin, because you say that you see, your sin remains. You continue in that same sinful pattern of behavior. Maybe it's not an obvious sin. Maybe it's more of a motivational heart sin. You know, but I continue in that same behavior because I say I see and I don't. I don't see. See, here's the situation. The blind man did see spiritually. He understood this sin thing, it's got to be dealt with. And because he did see, what happened? He was free to be healed. He was free to be healed. Because he did see, he was free to be healed. Oh, church, if we could just understand that the purpose of God's conviction is to release life and blessing. If we could just understand that, you know, my heart so desires that we would be able to not fear conviction. We would resist accusation, but that we would not fear conviction, that we would welcome conviction, that we would see conviction as grace that brings repentance, as in the words of that song. It's grace. You want to talk about grace? Conviction to see where you're making a mistake or where I'm making a mistake. That is real grace. That is real grace that changes my life. But it only comes to those who say, Lord, I need more of your vision. I need to see more than I see. You've shown me some things. We don't deny that. But there are things that I need to see that I'm not seeing. Because if that were not true, I'd be walking in a whole different dimension of your blessing. He's got greater things for us. Conviction is part of the way. I want to ask everyone to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to say at the beginning, or actually on the 31st of December, you know, we really felt like, and I spoke, I'm not going to go into all the details, about how God was going to release a move of repentance this year. You know, and I've told you guys about how at Oasis, you know, I saw people that were truly under the conviction of sin, that were desperate to get free of it. You know, I'd never seen that in America before. I'd never seen in America what I saw at Oasis this time. You know, God is moving. There's such excitement inside of me. Because I believe God is finding a people that are not going to run from his conviction. That are going to say, I need it, God. I need it. You're the light of the world. And your life reveals where my life doesn't measure up. Hallelujah. Your light reveals that. But it reveals that so you can release blessing into my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many together with me want to say, Pastor Jim, I don't want to be blinded. I need to repent. I need to repent and say, Lord, I have dealt casually with your word. I've said, no, that isn't for me. No, I've said, no, that's for someone over there. Not realizing the blindness that releases in my spirit. Not realizing that that continues, or that that ensures the continuing of whatever bad behavior I'm engaged in. I've insulated myself against it. And Jesus, in the presence of those Pharisees, he could do nothing more. Nothing more. What did they have to do for him to not be able to do anything more? All they had to do was say, no, we got it. We got this. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just, you know, if there's anyone that wants to do that together with me, I invite you to come up front. I invite you to come forward. And let's just come before the Lord. And let's confess our need to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, church, I just desire so much that this year we would be able to obtain the favor that we need to obtain, that God wants to give us. Amen. If you're coming forward, I want to ask you, if you would, just raise your hand with me and begin to tell the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Lord, how many times I've sat through your word and I have received absolutely nothing from it. Lord, I've judged that it wasn't for me. You know, whenever we say, oh, that word was for me, do you know what we're saying? We're implying that maybe it couldn't be. You know, and that is a wrong thought pattern. Of course it was for me. Of course it was for you. It's the word of God. It's for everybody. There's no possibility that I hear the word of God and it doesn't bring any kind of blessing into my life. There's no possibility of that. And if it doesn't bring blessing, it causes blindness to be deepened because judgment comes. I consider myself above the word of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just call out to him. Our team's going to lead us in a song here in just a moment. Let's just call out to him. Don't wait for me to lead you in prayer. Just call out to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Pray in your own words. You don't have to use mine. But just say, Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry at my arrogant approach to your word. How arrogant and judgmental I have been. Lord, shoveling accusation and conviction on others when it really needs to work in my life. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me for this. Lord, I'm asking you to open my blind eyes that I might truly see what it is that you want to tell me. Hallelujah. And I'm just believing that a real wave of vision is coming into our church. That a real wave of blessing is coming into our church. That a spirit of reality and sobriety is coming into our church. That we're getting sober-minded before God. So you know what? We can't play around with this thing. God wants to bless me, but you know what? I've got to be obedient to what he says. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Our praise team is going to lead. And I just want to encourage everyone, as you feel led, just begin to tell God whatever you need to say to him. Let's lift up our voice as the praise team leads us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.